Okay, time to wake up, figure out what's going on, find out why the world is the way the world is, or the way it isn't. I'm not sure, but it's February 13th, 2017, and it's the Area Fishing Report. So, Fish and Frank in the chair here, Robert in the chair across from me, and we're getting ready to go do it again. All kinds of stuff going on. March 18th, we have the big tent sale coming up. As always, it's going to be massive this year. Not only is Penn going to be doing even more discounts from what we hear, plus giving out a lot of extras with it. I mean, it's going to be an amazing year for the tent sale in general. We've also got, well, we got Penn, Shimano, Daiwa, Akuma, Quantum, Finor. Anybody else, Robert? I think that's all that's the real companies.
Yeah, that pretty much sums up everything.
Though we've got all those companies coming, and we've got Star Rods. Barry, the owner of Star Rods, will be here. You've got Fernando coming from Redbone.
Sean of AFW.
Sean from AFW is coming. I mean, just a massive lineup. Mark Nichols from DOA. Patrick Sabeel of Sabeel Lures. Doug and Mary Miner from Strike King. You got to meet them. They're just amazing.
They're coming down again?
Yeah.
Nice.
And I think Charles and Vicky are going to fly over from Texas, Rockport Rattler.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think we're full. I mean,
I was going to say.
I think we're full. I don't know how I'm going to fit everybody in. So I've got to call Charles and Vicky to make sure they're going to be here. But Rockport Rattler is always fun here.
Yeah.
And let's see, what else? I mean, just so much stuff, so many fishing talks, and so much other stuff. The Fort Myers store is doing great. It's actually paying for itself, and it's third month. We broke even on it, so that's actually really cool. The store, North Fort Myers in the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership. Real excited about that. It's no longer costing me money to keep it open. But, you know, I do have to say, I spent $65 advertising it, so, you know, let's face it. I just actually spent another $130 on advertising things. So, you know, I've got to up that up. You know, I've got almost $200 in ads for that store, and it's breaking even in its third month. So I'm real excited about that.
Most businesses are happy to do that in 3 years.
Yeah, so, I mean, all good. So anyway, we're on the fishing report, and let's see. Peace River System. Anything up and around?
It's kind of been a mixed mash of stuff, depending on which guy you talk to in the day. This full moon's got things kind of screwy. The afternoon bite by far everywhere has been better. Up there around the Harbor Heights area, there's been some redfish along those docks with some small snook. And then if you jump over towards Shell Creek.
Oh, gosh. I screwed this up. I can't believe I did that. Okay. All right.
What do we got going?
I got funky text color, but I'm just going to leave it that way.
it's all good. It happens every now and then. You can fix it. The Shell Creek.
Yeah, well, the first, all of January said 16 on them. On the dates, you know, I date all these reports.
Yeah.
Instead of saying, you know, 110, 16, 119, they all said 16. Somebody said, well, your reports, the, you know, you don't do them very often. I'm like, well, we get them once a week, maybe every other week. Oh, no, because they're all from last year. I'm like, last year? Really?
Oh, gotcha.
And I went back and looked. I had all the dates wrong at that January, so they all said 16.
Right. It happens.
Any trout or anything down around I-75?
Yeah,
whiting?
There's been a few trout, but more whiting than a few black drum also. I've even heard of a couple of small juvenile tarpon right there immediately around the bridge, but that kind of is nothing consistent, but just a, hey, that was an exciting moment, you know?
Yeah.
Not targetable, but a good, fun bycatch. Makes it worthwhile. You know, it's been decent up there. That water temperature last week finally started to warm back up a little bit and kind of got those fish a little bit more active.
Yeah. So, I guess if I separate the words at the, it's not the.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's almost like talking to Siri sometimes, huh?
I don't even try. I don't know what it is about my voice, but it doesn't work with electronics. I say, you know, I want to go to Luigi's, and it says L.A.? I'm like, what? You know, none of that stuff works for me. I don't know why. I gave up. All right, down to the 41 Bridge. What's going on at 41?
41 Bridge, there's been a few more trout being caught there. There's even been a couple short cobia and some mangrove snapper and black drum. It's not gangbusters, but it's doing well. You know, at least it's just a nice study. But there again, still that afternoon feed has been the better thing because of that full moon. It's been, you know, clear nights. I mean, the last, what, four nights, you could probably read a book out there with how bright it's been.
Yeah, it's been neat out at night.
I'd love to be at your house seeing that moon coming up. It's got to be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, I actually walked out on the upper deck the other day and just kind of, right about dark, and I was like, And then I saw the moon coming up later and went, I got to go out and check that out. And actually use the upper deck for once.
Yeah, Terry called me last month with it, and the problem is the neighbor's trees are just now tall enough I can't see it from the bridge anymore the way I used to.
We're going through that, and it's so nice when that one street light was out for a while.
Yeah.
I really wish they would take all the street lights down here, and whatever it costs, we would get the money back in savings and electricity. And at like 9 o'clock at night, because let's face it, Port Charlotte kind of rolls up by 9 o'clock at night. Between 9 and 10, they should all be just on motion sensors,
right?
Because having everything lit up just makes it easier for people to steal stuff. They can see what they're doing,
right?
And it's light all night; you're not looking out the windows. But if all the street lights were off, had motion sensors on them, a car comes down, they light up just like you do when you walk into Publix. You know, they're dark until you walk in the aisle, then everything lights up. Or if somebody's walking down the street, it would light up. And that way you would know if somebody's out there. It's safer, it's better for the community, and we would save a gazillion dollars in electricity, and you'd be able to see stuff at night.
Absolutely.
Eliminate a lot of the light pollution when we don't need it. Have them turn back on at, you know, 5 o'clock in the morning, when people are trying to go to work.
Yeah.
You know,
kids are going to catch the bus, or people are going to work.
10 to 5, motion sensor. Done. But even if it was like that all night, except, you know, on 41 or a major road, don't leave the lights on. But I don't understand why it's okay not to have lights when you're out of town, but in town we have to have them.
Yeah.
Give me a break. Okay. And let's do it the right way. Let's put motion sensors on them. All right. Lashley Pier. What's going on over there?
They've been getting a few whiting. I've even heard of a couple sheep's head this week off of there, and a few black drum. The evening bite's been a little bit quiet for the snook lately, and I'm not sure what that's about. But it seems like that middle of the day to the late afternoon bite has been best. You know, and the water's been so low in the early mornings down there that, you know, it's a low little spot anyhow, so you want to wait for that water to get up there just a little bit more and have a little bit more consistent water movement for those fish to cooperate well. But at least it's been beautiful. A lot of people have been down there walking around, checking it out, and asking questions.
Yeah. All right. Bayshore Pier.
That's been really slow in the mornings. The afternoon bite there is definitely better because it's been mud for the last five mornings. Just a few whiting, a few trout, and a couple of undersized cobia being caught off of there. I haven't heard of a legal cobia yet being caught there, but definitely a handful of short guys, which is not too bad. I mean, for as early as it is this year to be hearing these many reports about cobia out and about everywhere, it's kind of nice.
Yeah. Well, okay. No red lines. I got everything spelled right. All right. Port Charlotte Canal System.
Right at the mouths of the canals have been doing incredible, especially that point from Grassy Point over there to the beach complex.
Okay.
Mangrove snapper, a lot of jacks, some decent trout, been a few oddball redfish being caught through there. I've heard of quite a few people this week talking about sea robins that they've been catching off of there and totally perplexed by those. And then I've even heard of some juvenile tarpon going right at the mouth of the sunrise, right in the immediate vicinity of the boat ramp, which is the first time I've heard of several people telling me about that.
About what?
Tarpon, juvenile tarpon right there. You know, basically that's the entrance going into Spring Lake and the Sunrise Waterway. But I know they hold a lot of tarpon up inside there, but you very seldom have people telling you about seeing fish right there rolling. So that's a little on the odd side.
Yeah, that's cool. All right. And Mocker River, Elgin Bean Pier. Let's go to Elgin Bean.
Elgin Bean's got a lot of trout and mangrove snapper. The sheep's head are not great numbers, but definitely better quality. I'm hearing of some 17, 18, 19-inch sheep's head being caught off there flat out in the middle of the day more than anything else. And then as it rolls into the evening, it seems like some of the trout seem to get a little bit bigger, a little less numbers, but definitely a little bit better size-wise. And then there's been a handful of guys out there fishing at night just doing catch-and-release snook fishing, but I haven't heard how phenomenal it is. They're just talking about catching a few here and there. Nothing to jump up and down about yet. And I think just because it's close season, you don't have those serious veterans out there.
All right. If Tippy Canoe Bay, the Myakka Cutoff, the Myakka River, anywhere up in there?
The Myakka Cutoff's about the only thing I've heard of in that immediate area. It's been a lot of redfish. Most of them are rat reds, you know, in that 14 to 18 inch range. But there has been a few in that 20 to 24 inch range. A lot of little snook, occasional bigger snook being seen. And then at the front entrance right there on the harbor side, there has been some trout sporadically moving in and out of there. Just not in the normal numbers the way they should be this time of year. I've heard of a few mangrove snapper also, but most of them been little guys.
Gotcha. Boy, sure would be nice if I didn't, my hands didn't shake so much. Okay. All right. I can't go to move the mouse and it highlights everything on the page.
Yeah.
All right. South Gulf Cove Canals. I have not heard of a thing, but I haven't talked to anybody. I'm going out to give a talk to Gulf Cove Fishing Club. So
I'm
curious about that. I do that tonight. What's really fun is at 4 o'clock, I got to be at the dentist, and I think he's putting a cap on. And then at 7 o'clock, I got to go give a fishing talk.
Oh, geez. About the same time the jewel stops running.
Hopefully it does by then.
Wow.
I don't know. We'll see. Yeah. Nothing ever comes up easy.
No.
Right.
No such thing as a perfect timing.
South Gulf Canal?
I've had several guys going in there bluegill fishing. You know, they've come in here and bought some worms and some crickets and have been doing well on some nice bluegill. I know that Mike Myers was fishing back in there and Gulf Cove Rotunda area, and him and his buddy caught a handful of bass that they were talking about, along with a Mayan cichlid that Mike had never caught before and was just totally bewildered with how good of a fight it was. He thought that was pretty amazing.
Okay. The West Wall, what's going on down there?
That's scattered up and down. I mean, along the bushes, basically, you're getting a lot of redfish of assorted sizes, but mostly on the smaller side to barely legal. A handful of snook, but as you move out onto the bar a little bit, there's been some pompano, a few cobia, a few bonnethead sharks, and then better numbers of trout. You know, and then the pinfish have been ferocious over there, so you know, a lot of guys are getting frustrated with going through so much bait to catch what they're catching, but I tell them it's always good to have those pinfish around to chum things up and get some of those bigger predators excited that would otherwise be lethargic and may not get attracted to it, but some guys don't want to hear that. They eat all my shrimp. You know, but they'll say, that, well, I caught a 21-inch trout. I'm like, yeah, you probably wouldn't have caught that guy if it was a little slower and quieter out there. Those pinfish got him excited.
Yeah, and what we mean by that is when you toss a bait out there, what happens is the pinfish start picking little pieces off your bait, and then before you know it, there's 10, 15, 20 of them all trying to eat that shrimp, and that feeding activity of those smaller fish bring the trout over or the snook or the redfish. Now, mind you, your bait doesn't last long under that assault, but it does get the bigger fish's attention where maybe they might not have noticed the bait just hanging there or on the bottom or under the bobber or whatever it is that you're using. So it is kind of a double-edged sword. On one hand, you go through a lot of bait because you toss it out there, and all of a sudden you start seeing this peck, 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 and it's like a school of piranhas in a movie attacking. But that also, if it lasts long enough, will bring the big fish over to maybe eat the pinfish or eat your bait, hopefully. Cape Hayes, what's going on down there?
A lot of trout, handful of pompano, handful of bonnet heads. These low tides have made it a little tricky, so most of the guys have been fishing the outer edge of it, the Boca Grande side of Cape Hayes, where you got that little deeper trough.
I can tell you, I've heard several guys talking about pompano there, good trout fishing, and the cobia. Now, there's redfish up near the shoreline, and kind of just the inside of the bar, they're doing pretty good. A few snook along the shoreline.
Mm-hmm. I've heard of some bluefish over there in the deeper trough, you know, biting the baits off.
Yeah.
You know, one guy said he caught a pinfish and he's reeling it up and he freaked out because a bluefish hit it as he was pulling it out of the water and just literally shredded his pinfish. He thought it looked like a shark had grabbed it just the way it was so shredded up.
Yeah.
He actually watched him hit it, made him jump.
I guess bait is not B-A-R-I-T. If I take the R out, it's probably better. Alright, let's see. Turtle Bay, Bull Bay. I know there's bluefish in Turtle Bay.
There's a lot of trout and sheep's head scattered all over inside there on the open grass flats and some of those deeper potholes. And then a handful of redfish running the shoreline a little bit. Mixed varieties of sizes, but mostly on the smaller side. You just gotta wait till late morning for that higher water to come in, and then those fish are pushing up onto it. But because of that deeper water, you're looking for those troughs and sand holes.
Bull Bay, I've heard about a bunch of snook in the back.
Yeah, back by those floating boats and other miscellaneous stuff that's back there. Oh, is that the area you're talking about?
Yeah, that and the clam.
The clam lease
and all that.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of a good mixed variety there. There's also been a lot of sheep's head under those few shacks right at the entrance of Bull Bay, along with a few mangrove snapper. The bigger mangs are in there, but you got to light leader them, and it's hard to get them out from those pilings.
Yeah, that's always true, but, you know, while you're trying for them, you've also got the shot at the sheephead, the Goliath grouper, you know, black drum. They all hang out there underneath that. Going out to the Cape Hayes Reef, I know there's been cobia out there.
Cobia, few sheep's head, and some mangrove snapper really has been the primary focus of everybody. The cobia have been an assortment of different sizes. Most of them have been like right at that borderline of just under legal size, but there has been a couple. I've heard of a couple fish up to like 42 inches off of there. And those guys are doing best. Obviously, if you can get a small crab right now, that's really what they're focused on feeding on. But guys have been doing exceptionally well on using a shrimp on like a quarter ounce jig head and kind of keeping it suspended above the structure, just kind of slowly retrieving it back to themselves. That seems to be the most activity on the cobia.
Gotcha. Work around the corner from Devilfish over onto the tailing flats there in Gasparilla Sound or in the back of Boca. I know that backside of Boca got hit really bad by red tide a while ago, and there was a lot of red tide just the other day out in Englewood. We'll get to that as we get up to Lemon Bay, but I haven't heard about any red tides recently in Gasparilla Sound.
No, I have not either. You know, it's been such small little patches coming through, it's making things confusing. Mainly all I've heard about has been there around Sandfly, the tailing flats area. Pardon me. Lots of sheep's head. In some of those deeper sand holes and a couple of those little oyster bars that are in there. And if you're fishing the perimeter of the main shoreline, basically all through Whidden Bay there and right at the entrance into Whidden Creek, lots of sheep's head, a few legal redfish, a lot of little chicken snook throughout there. And if you just want to drift that whole bay all the way through the tailing flats, there have been a lot of trout, of mostly on the smaller side, but there's been a few 20, 22-inch fish being caught out of there, too, with them. And guys are doing the best with the shrimp or soft plastics for those trout right now.
All right. Takes us over to Placida. What's going on over at the Trussell?
Oh, the main excitement there has been all the sheep's head. A lot of guys looking at them. Only a handful are really catching them well. handful of pompano, some bluefish, a couple of bonnethead sharks. And then the whiting haven't been great numbers, but I've heard of some pretty good-sized whiting. One guy came in with a picture, and it was, I'm going to guess it was a good solid pound and a half, maybe almost 2 pounds. One of the bigger whiting I've seen in a long time. And he said he caught three like that, along with a whole bunch of the smaller typical size, you know, three-quarter pounders.
Right.
But still great. Great eating. Can be a fun fight if you got them on the right tackle. You know, people way underrate little whiting when they're just, they're using the lighter tackle. It can be a pretty good time. You know, and shrimp's by far the best bet. I haven't heard of anyone fishing out there at night, and I imagine we'll hear a lot more in the next 2 weeks when we get closer to snook season again, but nobody's really been focused on the night fishing there.
Yeah, it's funny. I was telling somebody, you know, I do all of the typing and everything on the website, and I said, you know, there's a lot of misspelled stuff, but you know, I do the best I can. I said, you know, I'm not a trained office person, you know, fishing person. And I said, well, there's a lot of misspelled words. I said, could you figure it out? He says, yeah. I said, then where's the problem?
Right, exactly.
If you can figure out what it means, think of it as a test.
What do I look like, a teleprompter?
Yeah, think of it as a test.
Clerk of the court?
Yeah. So, Lemon Bay, I was just out at the Englewood Fishing Club. If you're in Englewood, there is a fishing club out there. Great people, really nice group. They've got nice meetings. It's a very good meeting for the, as they get right there, they get to the point, they get on with their speakers. They run a good club there in Englewood. Yeah. So if you're around the Englewood area, you know, they've got some great speakers, and you know, it's an interesting group, and they're nice people.
Yeah, real nice people. They got a lot of female anglers that come in here that are just awesome to deal with.
Yeah, I was there giving a talk last Thursday night, and we were doing, I was teaching how to fight fish with the simulators.
Mm-hmm.
And I think 4 out of the 6 winners, score-wise, were women.
Yeah.
Because it's about playing the fish, not about getting them in right away.
Right.
And guys get so focused on just hauling, they forget to play. And it was fun. We had a good time with a great crowd. We had close to 100 people there or so, but it was a lot of fun. We had a good time.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Lemon Bay, and I know there's some trout in the ICW.
Yeah. Mostly sticking in the edges of the channels in like that 3 to 5 feet of water range. But it seems as the day warms up, those fish are actually kind of moving up into a little bit skinnier water. I'm hearing guys catching them in like 1.5 feet of water and like decent fish and numbers. You know, 17, 18, 19-inch fish. And most of the guys that are doing best on those, honestly, have been on that Miradine, the broken glass one.
Right.
Of any color. It seems like they're focused on that smaller type bait fish feed for the trout.
All right, are you talking broken glass silver or broken glass gold?
All of it. I've had guys come in here and buy just about anything broken glass. They're just saying it's just working well.
Yeah.
Usually it's one or the other, but I'm selling that, whatever, that red back with the gold sides, just the plain old silver. I mean, it's kind of a mix mash. There's also been some redfish and snook and a few pompano underneath the docks along the north end of Lemon Bay, basically the mainland side. So, kind of a mixed variety of stuff.
All right. Moving down to the angle, or right there in Lemon Bay, the Tom Adams Bridge.
The Tom Adams Bridge, the main bridge itself, a lot of guys are catching sheep's head and whiting, fishing right around the pilings themselves. There's not much to report right there off the pier, you know, except for a handful of whiting and a couple small sheep's head. Seems like the evening time I'm getting better reports of the guys catching trout off the pier itself. But the guys have been so focused on the whiting and the sheep's head off the main bridge fishing all those pilings and having a good time. I have heard of two good-sized black tips that guys have hooked while fishing out there in like that 5-foot range, both of which broke the guys off, but they said it was pretty amazing to watch that fish launch 6 feet in the air and spin around. It's always kind of exciting, catches you off guard when you're planning for other fish. So that's always fun. And then it's been such beautiful weather. The water's fairly clean down there. This wind has been blowing at just the perfect angle where it hasn't clouded it up from what I've been hearing. I don't know if you're hearing the same thing or not, but it's been not too bad. Just that oddball patch of red tide that likes to miraculously show up. What is that this year?
Miraculous because there was a bad red tide going on out in the Gulf, 10, 15 miles out, plus in some cases, where that stupid wind came out of the west and it just blew it right to shore. I mean, we knew it was coming if that wind was going to switch. We need east and north winds to keep that red tide out in the Gulf and out away from everybody. But speaking of the Gulf of Mexico, patches of red tide, but nothing bad.
No, I haven't really heard of any fish kills or anything like that, just enough to annoy your nasal passages.
How was the bottom fishing? Now, are the cobia on the close reefs, or you got to go out a ways for them, or what's going on with them?
No, the cobia seem to be anywhere from 3 to up to like 15 miles out, relatively close to shore. I haven't heard of many cobia out there further than that. The other thing that's been incredible out there in that, you know, 45 to 60 feet of water, some serious lane snapper action. I mean, 2, 2.5 pound lane snappers mixed in with some mangroves, some lanes, or I'm sorry, some porgies and a few sheep's head. I mean, that near shore reefs and ledges have been really on fire for basically small table fish. If you want to go grocery shopping or just have a good time with a lighter rod and reel, there's been some really good fishing out there. One of the guys was out there last week. They ran out of shrimp and were still catching the lane snapper on just a plain bare jig head. I mean, that's how heavy they got into them.
Okay. Any pelagics, king mackerel, bonita, tuna, anything out there?
Been a few bonita and blackfin, but mostly down south below Captiva. Down towards, you know, kind of that Blue Hole, Pegasus, Mohawk area. It seems like they moved out just a little farther with that cold snap from a couple weeks ago. You know, no kingfish, no Spanish mackerel. Have not heard a word about either of those two fish. Even as far as Tampa, I haven't heard of much. From what I hear, Miami is doing very well on the Spanish, the Cerros, and the king mackerel. It's like they went around the Keys and kind of over on that point over there.
Gotcha. All right. Well, anything in any of the passes?
Sheep's head. Lots and lots of sheep's head. Been a few pompano right along the north end of the channel of Boca Grande. And Stump Pass also has had quite a few pompano and some sheep's head in it. Hearing of a few jacks here and there, a few bonnet heads. Kind of a mixed gamut of stuff. And if you get out in the main open part of Boca Grande and Captiva Pass, if you're trolling a spoon, there's been some ladyfish up to like 2 pounds with some bluefish in that 2 to 3 pound range, which are just a blast to catch. You know, good action anyway. I've heard of a lot of short gag grouper and red grouper in there. I haven't heard of anything of legal size, even though gag season's closed. You know, you still usually hear of a few bigger ones being caught, but that's even been a little on the quiet side. The shrimp have been running through there in the evenings. A couple guys have been going out there and anchoring in just inside Captiva Pass at night with this full moon, and they've been hanging lanterns off their pontoon boat and catching anywhere from 3 to 5 pounds of shrimp a night, which is pretty cool to hear. You don't hear too many guys doing that anymore, the way it used to be.
Well, it was easier to get to.
Yeah.
Years ago, you could walk up out on the beach and shine a light out on the water and dip shrimp up, or, you know, there was more access to it.
Right.
Now, if you don't have a boat, it's very hard to get to the passes. Now, you can do boat grand pass, but don't you have to get a permit for at night?
Yeah, night pass.
Yeah, it's just a lot of people. Now, I can't complain about all the extra people. I had three kids. Now, you didn't have kids, so you can complain all you want about all these stupid people and move in from everywhere and all that. You're allowed to complain. Once you have more than two kids, you're not allowed to complain anymore because you're the problem. You're not the solution. You're not the answer. You are the problem. I'm the problem. I had three kids. You know, then once you do that, you know, give up your complaining. S-H-R-I-M-P. Shrimp is S-H-R-I-M-P, right?
Yeah.
And why does it underline that shrimping is misspelled? S-H-R-I-M-P-I-N-G.
Probably two P's.
Really?
I think.
Nope, didn't like that either.
Huh.
Okay.
It's probably just not a word that they recognize.
Yeah.
Just get rid of the G and put shrimping.
Yeah, I put pompano in on one of the reports I was doing, and it was said, no, that's wrong.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, it's not. You just don't know the word.
I tried texting, saying it to Siri the other day, and she put Pompeii.
Right.
Like, I'm not talking about volcano here. Come on.
So, all right. If we were going to walk the beach, Venice, Minnesota, Cayo Costa, Boca, Englewood, Stump Pass, what would you catch casting from shore? I've heard jacks.
Jacks, a lot of whiting, few incidental sheep's head. There's still been some snook that are just totally confused that have been cruising the beach every now and then. I'm hearing guys seeing, you know, an occasional 20-incher and an occasional 40-incher swimming by out there. And then the pompano, you know, I think I said pompano, but the pompano have been in little schools of anywhere from 10 to 50 fish coming through in little groups. So you might fish all day, not catch one, and then all of a sudden, bang, you're into them and really clean house. Stump Pass had several days last week that there was a lot of pompano around. You know, so I would just concentrate kind of closer to the mouths of the passes more than the middle parts of the beaches for some reason. Unless you're looking for those jacks and whiting, which I'd personally take a jack over any of them just for the fight. Still pound for pound, one of the greatest fighting fish ever. Teach them how to jump, and it would be absolutely amazing. You know, be definitely a sport fish status.
Well, if jacks would, if you could teach a jack crevel how to jump, what you would have is the number one most protected fish in the world, because nothing fights as good. And yeah, all they'd have to do is learn how to come up, shake their head and stuff, and you'd never be allowed to keep another one.
Exactly.
So, all right. Because it's so far away, and Punarasa and Sanibel are just such a, you know, specific to them. You heard about anything down there?
A lot of trout and a lot of small gag grouper being caught in the immediate area around the flats there. Right at the Ponderosa, you know, all those docks right there at Ponderosa, and all that grass flats surrounding right there immediately in the area is pretty much all I've heard.
What's going on at the bridge?
Just mainly trout and a few bluefish and sheep's head, but I haven't heard of the snook or any tarpon activity or anything like that. Been a little on the quiet side. A lot of people fishing it, a lot of people just hanging out down there. One guy said it looked like a parking lot last Thursday, like the middle of the week.
More beautiful place you want to go than hang out down there.
Exactly. Okay.
I haven't heard anything on the Caloosahatchee. I'm going to have to make some phone calls to find out about that.
Yeah, I haven't either.
All right.
Matt would be the man to call on that one.
Yeah, Matt Lachey, anything going on?
A lot of sheep's head being caught right off of Matt Lachey, off the bridge itself. And all the surrounding docks there for the boat fishermen are doing really good on the sheep's head. With a handful of trout, handful of small redfish and catch and release snook. You know, but all of it seems to be within that first half a mile of the bridge itself. I haven't heard anything around the Indian Fields or those Cape Coral canals the way we normally do. I think it's just because that weather's been so beautiful. These fish finally really turned on good down there. At least more consistent than we've been hearing. I think that those juvenile tarpon should be right there at the Cape Coral Canals, because this is that time of year when they usually get pretty excited, but nobody's talking about them if they are getting excited.
Okay. Pine Island Sound. Plenty of redfish on the flats from what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
And sheephead in the deeper holes.
In the deeper holes and up underneath those deeper cuts along the mangrove shoreline. If you got some of those spots where they got those real deep buckets, there's been a lot of sheep's heads stacked in them. And then trout scattered all over the place, mostly out on those deeper grass flats. Once again, puffer fish and, geez, how am I doing today? Not good at all. Sea robins. So many guys talking about sea robins down there, too, that they've been catching. You know, it's a lot of firsts for some of these guys down there seeing those fish and coming in with the pictures going, what is this thing? And why does it look like it has legs?
Because it does.
Yeah.
And
just funny how certain fish go in little spurts where you won't hear anything about them for months or sometimes a couple years. This last week's been kind of that.
I can remember going out, and I'd have a month or two where throwing the cast net in the harbor, I'd have a ton of squid, seahorses, you name it, spadefish, yada-da-da-da-da-da. Speaking of spadefish, you heard anything about spadefish?
I've not heard much about spadefish lately.
I've not heard a thing, and right now they should just be going crazy with spadefish out there. Okay. Boquilla, Jug Creek.
Boquilla, it's been some trout out there in those deeper sand flats with some bluefish. But other than that, I haven't heard of a lot of people fishing it real heavy at all. I don't know if it's the wind direction or what it's been, but just not
right,
a lot
we'll
of good stuff.
Switch over to Burnt Store. What's going on at Burnt Store?
That whole flat from Burnt Store south, scattered redfish, most somewhere on that smaller side, with some pompano mixed in. I've heard of a couple flounder. Once again, some bluefish, an occasional bonnet head, kind of a mixed gamut, but most of the guys that are doing best down there are fishing in the evenings when the boat traffic has slowed down, because there's so many boats coming in and out of Burnt Store that it's just been an afternoon bite more than anything else.
Gotcha. All right. Coming up on the east side, on the outside, I'm hearing cobia.
Yeah.
And trout outside the bar.
Yeah. All
anything
over.
Anything else?
There's been some redfish and snook scattered around some of those islands. The guys that are doing the best are usually fishing their shrimp kind of close to the bottom on a small jig head. But they're looking for those pinch points between little islands where you're getting some very good water flow. And those are the guys that have been catching those legal size redfish rather than the rat reds along with a few bigger snook. But you're dead on with the trout and the cobia on the outside of the bar. There's been fair numbers of those fish moving all over the place and actually being fairly cooperative for the catch part of it, too, which is always nice. It's always funner to catch them than it is just to see them swim by and flip you the fin and keep going.
Yeah. Yep, I get that. So, all right. Alligator Creek. Has anything started happening this year? This has got to be the slowest year on record for fish in Alligator Creek.
I think part of it's that dredging that they got going on there. I think that's a huge part of it. Plus this wishy-washy weather we've had, It's cold, then it's super hot, then it's cold again. Those fish just can't make up their minds what to do. The only thing I've heard about has been a couple of trout right up there by that entrance going into Burnt Store Isles. And then a handful of guys are catching a couple trout as they're coming out of jacks as they're coming out of Burnt Store Isles, trolling, small lip plug as they're moving along. But it is definitely one of the slowest years. I'd agree with you 100% on that one.
Yeah. One guy stopped at where the mouth of the old locks were. Mm-hmm. They're pretty good on sheephead there.
Oh, so. Okay. There you go. That's not a bad thing.
Okay. PGI Canals, Ponce de Leon Park.
Ponce de Leon's been really good. Sheep's head have been moving in and out of there with some pretty good consistency. Some mangrove snapper. Oddball redfish and black drum coming through there. And then lately there's been some fairly good-sized snook that actually have been chewing. They're always there, but They've actually been chewing a little bit more this past week. Haven't heard of much else right there around Ponce. As you move up into PGI, that's when you're starting to really hear some pretty good activity. The juvenile tarpon are all over inside there. And then the snook, of course, are sitting on just about every darn light there is. So guys have been pretty excited about that. And then we're getting the usual black drum and some good-sized mangrove snapper. Not very many mangrove snapper, but most of the ones that are being caught are like that 12 to 14-inch range. And those guys have been doing best on those, either using a little bit bigger shrimp on a jig head or using small cut pieces of mullet.
Okay. Gilcrest Pier, I've heard of whiting.
Yeah, that's all I've heard. Mm-hmm. Pretty slow.
Alligator Creek Reef. So here we got to go back to the cobia. And
cobia have been the primo thing out there going on. But there has been some pretty decent sheep's head activity. Handful of mangrove snapper. Obviously, your bluefish are still around out there. You know, and then a lot of small-sized Goliath grouper. You know, in that 8 to 20-pound range. But still enough to get everyone pretty excited about it.
Now, what was that?
The Goliath grouper.
Oh, yeah.
Seems like they really started chewing this past week. But the cobia have been the talk with just about anybody who's walked in the shop this past few days. Even Richie, I think he was, he had 13 or something was his best day out there. You know, two of them were legal, but he still had a blast because he's catching them on light tackle because most of them are in that 26 to 30-inch range, which on near snook and redfish, they'll put up a pretty good fight on that tackle.
Oh, yeah. No, it's all been pretty good. Trying to get my boat repositioned. So, anyway, anything on the deep holes of the harbor? I don't know. I haven't heard of anything, but that doesn't mean much.
Catfish and stingrays. A couple guys have been out there looking for cobia and drifting around. Pretty much that's all they're saying they're getting is the catfish and stingrays. If they're catching anything more than that, they're not saying. The guy did it 2 days in a row, and he finally got tired of the bigger stingrays. He was catching stingrays up to 3 feet around. He said, fun fight for the first one. After that, I don't want to catch anymore. And I don't blame him, because they'll give you a workout sometimes, especially that size. But at least there is some activity.
Yeah.
I'm just so surprised at the lack of Spanish mackerel this year.
Yeah. Well, I think with the water warms up a little bit. Have you heard any reports of bait anywhere?
Nothing. Just pinfish.
Where would you find pinfish?
The pinfish have been pretty good along the intercoastal, but especially right there around Jug Creek and the, I would call it the west side of Devilfish. And that just nice skinny water all throughout there. They've been getting quite a few of the pinners. No white bait, no real thread fins or anything like that that I've heard of. You know, so it's that time of year. It's not surprising when it's not around. Plus, it's fun to watch people scramble. I can't catch anything unless I have white bait.
Mm. Oh, well. there is some white bait out in the Gulf.
Yeah. Yeah, I've heard of some out there in like that 18 to 25 feet of water range. Guys, I'm getting them fishing, you know, dropping their nets down deep or sabiki in them.
Okay, what's going on freshwater-wise?
Freshwater-wise, you got Rotunda area and the Northport area have been doing really good on the bluegill with some decent bass fishing. The crappie seem to have gotten a little quiet this week. And I don't know if guys are just catching them and not saying anything, but definitely been the Northport canals have probably been the most popular fishing right now that there has been. then I've also heard of a few bass and some big bluegill up in, Horse Creek. Horse Creek has had some fairly good sized fish in it, both bass and bluegill. You know, which is a really pretty area to go to if you ever want to explore up.
Where are you going up by the Horse Creek up by the bridge?
Yeah, turn left there and go way in, heading towards, what is that, 7?
I don't know that there's anything. When you're going out Kings Highway,
right,
and you get to that Horse Creek Bridge,
right,
I don't know that there's anything to the left.
Well, yeah, but I'm talking about off the main river. You make the left underneath the
trestle. You're talking from a boat.
Yes. Yeah, I'm not heard of anyone catching anything from shore right there.
The trestle is about 3/4 mile from Horse Creek.
Okay.
There's an old bridge or old trestle markings right there, but there's nothing overhead on it. There's just some shore abutments.
Okay.
And then the river goes off to the right, but the only way to get through that point is straight ahead through the narrows, but Horse Creek goes off to the left.
Okay.
And you can go all the way up. There's a boys camp up there or something like that. I've been all the way up to past Kings Highway when the water was high in flood conditions.
Right.
And most of the time you're not going to get there. But I think if I was going to access Horse Creek, I would do it off the bridge on Kings Highway, because that's going to tell you if there's any water there.
Right.
You know, you're going to see if there's no water there. Well, obviously the fishing isn't going to be any good.
Right.
But I would check there first.
Okay. I've only been into the mouth of it personally. I've never been way back up inside there.
Oh, I got crazy one day and just decided to go nuts and go way the heck back up in there. Anything else we should be talking about here?
Man, I mean, the cobia have been the biggest thing. You know what else? We did forget to mention this. It's been a little bit activity offshore, off and on at all the reefs. Been some permit out there.
You know, I can back up.
You know, it's these guys that are fishing for the snapper and the possible cobia and stuff are actually getting 15, 20, 25-pound permit, enough where it's worth mentioning. I just forgot about them just because you just don't associate that at all this time of year, but it seems like it hasn't faded out in the last couple weeks. It's been pretty consistent, and they're all catching them on shrimp, most of them. A couple guys have caught them on cut bait while trying to fish for, you know, the oddball grouper, but most of it's all been shrimp on a jig head, which is pretty awesome.
Kind of a bycatch when you're fishing for...
Yeah, for the snappers. Yeah, it's been pretty impressive. I've seen some pretty impressive pictures lately. One woman at that talk that we had to do with Josh and Mike last week, she actually brought out her phone, and I think they caught 6 of them that day.
Wow. Yeah, and I was at, when I was giving the talk to the other night, guy showed me these big pictures of African pompano.
Yeah. Yeah, those guys are catching those out a little farther, aren't they? Or is he catching those in closer?
No, closer.
Really? Yeah, I had a guy that did really good fishing down there off of Marco Island. He was in here, I guess, about a week and a half ago, and they caught quite a few of them. But that's kind of normal in the wintertime down there off of those reefs. But that'd be a fun fish to catch. I'd like to catch one of those. They're a little strange looking. Got those fins that almost, not quite rooster fish like, but just how elongated and weird shape they are makes them just unique enough.
Oh, yeah. And you said they were a blast. They were great eating. So everything... It's kind of really good out there in the Gulf right now.
Yeah.
If we can keep the red tides down and everything else going along, I think it's going to be actually a pretty darn good, season in the Gulf this year.
Seems to be so far.
Yeah.
And you just watch the weather and work yourself around the winds and stuff, and it's been pretty nice out there.
Yeah, so hopefully get everything all going. I can't think of anything else. I'm humming and hawing into the microphone. I'm really tired. Usually I'm a bit more... That was excited. A loud bit. Yeah. I don't know what the hell happened to me.
That was your little bit of ambition trying to jump out.
That was my ambition trying to jump out. We've got the Akumas here today getting ready for the tent sale, and... Shimano's going to come in the next couple days. Quantum's been here. Penn was here. And Penn's always the big one at the tent sale. That's just, they're off the charts with the, you know, what they do. I think that, you know, they're so consumer driven.
Yeah.
You know, they really want to take care of their customers. They really want to do best for them. I don't know if they're always the best reels, but such great company policies make their reels, I think, better than what they are.
Right. Yeah, their customer service is
They're good products, and most of them are at a good price, but they really are concerned for the people that use them. I mean, I'm it's hard to get over that, how good they are with that. And then, the one thing I'm going to watch this year is how many of the Fenor, is that lethal?
Yeah, that thing is starting to really ramp up big time.
I'm going to be really curious to how many dozens of lethal sell this at this sale. Yeah. It's going to be in the dozens.
Oh, easily.
There's no doubt in my mind he's going to,
I think we might have underbought for it.
You know, we've got time to fix some of that. But yeah. I actually think, I'd be surprised if they don't sell a couple hundred lethals that day. And they got the big shot from Fenor coming this year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, got a big guy from Fenor coming.
Nice.
So I'm going to be really surprised at that. Shimano's going to be their first year back since we kicked them out a few years ago. So I'm really wondering what Shimano's going to step up and do on this one. That's going to be interesting. But one of the things, most of the people from Shimano, you guys do not want to meet. Trust me, you don't want to know these guys. But the guy who's going to be in the booth, Danny, I mean, by and large, if you're in the industry, you like and respect him.
Yeah.
And if you're a Shimano person out there and you want to meet a really cool person from Shimano that will actually make you want to buy the product, you got to meet Danny.
Yeah.
I mean, he is cool.
He's just genuine.
Yeah. I've known him, I can't even remember how many years. And you're going to like him. I mean, I don't know how you wouldn't like Danny.
Exactly.
I mean, he's just as cool, down to earth, great person as you ever want to meet. And one of the things we have issues with on the real companies is, my brand's great, their brands suck. You know, or you have to buy my brand because we're the best.
Right.
And what we look for in inviting people to this show is the ones who will say, listen, I don't really know if I've got anything that's really going to do that good for you. Go see if that brand has that particular thing or that particular reel. Yeah. And those are the people that we want here. The ones that are here for you, not here for them to make their sales. That's why we didn't have Shimano back for all those years, is because they were so worried about their own image and their own stuff, they weren't concerned about the consumer.
Right.
And now they've got Danny there, who we've dealt with for a long time, but now he's in charge of our area again. And so here you've got a guy who is... likes his product, is, you know, enjoys the Shimano product, really is good with it, knowledgeable. But if they don't have exactly what you want, he will actually tell you, oh, go check, you know, this one or that one or the next brand to see if they have something that'll work better for you.
Right.
And that's the kind of person we're looking for. That's why this is invitational only. They cannot buy their way into this. Can you imagine somebody trying to buy me? Pretty expensive.
Yeah,
it can be done.
Right.
No, without a doubt, you can buy me. I am for sale. My opinions are for sale. All that. Not exactly cheap, folks.
Right.
You know, and I'll tell you, it's a paid opinion right up front. But if somebody wants me to give an opinion, it's going to take more than a little bit of money.
Yeah, exactly.
We're talking retirement money. And then I won't give my opinion anyway because I'll be retired.
Exactly.
So either way, it works.
Works out perfect.
So... anyway,
it's going to be an amazing tent sale, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the people that are coming that
Doug
had,
and Mary,
we've had such a good routine because so many of them have been here for the years that they just all work well together. They play with each other nicely, but the way they deal with the customers is awesome. I mean, to watch the smiles as they walk away as they're having discussions about reels or rods
this
or
year,
lures.
Have Mike Rice sign a pen box. Buy a pen reel and get the director of pen. Get a collectible out of it. Have
right.
Mike Rice sign the box.
Right.
You know, go over to this Barry at Star Rods and say, Barry, sign this rod for me. Sign the handle right here.
Right.
Go to Patrick Sabeel. Meet the crazy whack job Frenchman. He's one of my favorite people on the planet. You're going to love this French guy. And tell Patrick to sign the lure. Buy a lure and have Patrick sign it. Go over to DOA. Buy a bait buster, you know, and say, Mark, sign this lure.
Well, these
Doug
guys
and
have...
Mary, get an autograph from Doug and Mary.
I mean, these people have done so much for the industry because they've been in it for so long or made such profound changes, you know.
Impacts.
I mean, I know Sabeel, he's, as far as compared to DOA or Strike King, he's a relatively newcomer to it, but he's been fishing for decades. He came out with a revolutionary lure that pretty much changed the way lures are made.
So not only does this Sabeel work great, you get to meet the guy who thought of it, ask him what happened with it, talk to him about Sabeel. And he's brought out products specifically because Southwest Florida asked for him.
Yeah.
He's big into it. He's finally got his green card. We're so excited. Patrick got his green card. He gets to stay in the U.S. now.
Nice.
And all legal and above board. He lives on the east coast of Florida. He comes over all the time. One of the greatest people on the planet. You're going to love Patrick Sabeel. And Patrick is the one I get a ton of credit memos off of because he wheels and deals a little too much.
Yeah.
But you've got so many people to choose from. You're going to have such a good time. Anyway, I guess that's about the whole rant for everything. Check out our store in North Fort Myers. It's in the Ingman Marine Boat Dealership. It's about 3 blocks south of Pine Island Road, right on Cleveland, you know, the new 41, the real 41, Cleveland Avenue. We're about a mile north of the bridge. We're right next to Northern Tool. So check the store out. It's doing well. People are really enjoying it. There's frozen bait, worms, night crawlers, all kinds of frozen saltwater bait, and there's worms and night crawlers, grubs and stuff for freshwater. Do we get crickets down here?
I don't remember if he took some down there or not. Okay. He might have took some with him on Saturday, but I'm not sure. Right.
So, anyway, but there's some bait there. We're working on more. As the store, you know, makes
builds
some money,
momentum.
I can put more money into it. I've got a lot of money into it now. So, anyway, I think that's going to do it.
I think so.
And the music says we're over. That's how you know when I'm almost probably going to shut up.
Almost.
Almost, probably, definitely.
Maybe.
But it doesn't mean I have to shut up just because the music plays. Okay. All right. Any last words?
Nope. Thank you for all your support and enjoy your day and fishing.
God, so Bartles and James, thank you for your support.
Right, exactly.
I don't even know if you're old enough to remember.
I remember it.
Okay. All right. Anyway, boys and girls, Fish and Frank in the chair, Robert in the chair across from me. And you guys have a great week. And we'll be back with lots more radio fishing this week. We're going to be getting on the phone and putting up interviews. So anyway, look for the white area fishing report symbol. And that way you'll know which one it is. So bye-bye.